So for those of you who were here last week, you know that we started the first of a three-part message focused upon this great theological, Christological, and doctrinal statement that we find in John chapter 14, verse 6. Many of you are familiar with the words, even if you didn't know the verse. It's where Jesus makes this bold proclamation, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is an incredibly clear and concise statement about who Jesus Christ is, and it is not disputable. And so we went through it last week, focusing on that very first part, "I am the way," because it is so important to understand what Jesus meant when he said that. Again, it's one of those things that there can be no ambiguity about what he meant. When he said, "No one comes to the Father except through me," he meant that there was no other way but through him. But I wanted us to be able to understand how it is that we can interpret this rightly, how we can get our arms around this really critical verse. And that's why I devoted 3 weeks to it. Yes. Last week to "I am the way." And if you'll recall, one of the things that I said as we came to a conclusion last week was the only way that Jesus isn't the way is if he's not telling the truth. Which brings us to the second part of that statement, where he declares that "I am the truth." And so if you have your Bibles, if you have an opportunity, you might want to flip open to John chapter 14, thereabouts. I'll try to do my best so that you don't need it, but always good to have it. Now, our reading for today wasn't from John 14, 6. It was from John chapter 18, and it's important for us to realize that chronologically, the events in John chapter 18 take place maybe 12 to 15 hours after Jesus utters this bold proclamation. And the question that Pontius Pilate asked in verse 38, is just as important and perhaps even more pervasive today than it was when Pilate asked it. Because he said to Jesus this question, "What is truth?" It's a question that our society is struggling with. And therefore, I think it's important to realize that if we answer his question, we're probably going to address what Jesus said when he made that declaration that "I am the truth." And so, for those of you that weren't here last week, when it comes to interpreting Scripture, there are some really important things to keep in mind. And many of you have heard the old real estate adage, what's most important when you're looking at real estate? The first thing is location. And the second thing is location. And the third thing is location. Exactly. Well, when you're interpreting Scripture, we can say the same thing about context. Context, context, context. But we need to speak more broadly about that, because there's actually three different areas of context that are important when we're trying to accurately interpret a passage of Scripture. First and foremost is the immediate context. And this is easy for us, because when we see Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he is answering a question posed by Thomas, because Jesus has just told his disciples that, "I am going to my Father's house to prepare rooms for you, and you know the way." And so Thomas then asks the question. He says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how will we know the way?" So Jesus makes this statement in the context of answering a question. So if we take our dive into this phrase from any direction other than starting with the answer to a question, we're on a bad start. So the first thing we have to look at is what's the immediate context. But the second thing is, what's the context of the book or letter that the message is delivered in? Because the author of the book or letter has a broader purpose in writing. And so we need to see that how we interpret any particular verse is consistent with the message of the letter or the book that we're going through. The third context, though, is the context of Scripture in its entirety. Because there are overarching themes, there are broad messages and topics that we find in the totality of the Bible. And so as we seek to understand what's being said in a particular verse, we need to be careful to not come to a conclusion that is at odds with the rest of Scripture. Immediate verse, the book itself, all of Scripture. Context, context, context. Now here's the critical thing in our study today, in our message for today. Jesus says, I am the truth. And so we have to start by understanding his notion of truth. Because Jesus has an idea about truth that is different from the way the world looks at truth. He is looking at an objective truth. We have a world today that likes to say, well, that may be true for you, but here's what's true for me. It's this notion that's called subjective truth. And what's interesting is some people are so hung up on subjective truth that they're willing to say that there's no such thing as objective truth. Although I'll pose the question to you, isn't that in and of itself an objective truth statement, to say that there is no objective truth? Anyway, this notion that something can be true for you but not true for me isn't what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about an absolute truth, a universal truth, something that is as true as saying 2 + 2 = 4. Or that my name is Aaron Crosby, or we are all sitting in the church building today worshiping. Undisputable. Not available for interpretation. It is. And the thing about an absolute truth, a universal truth, is that it has no bearing on whether or not you believe it. That which is absolutely true is absolutely true whether you believe it or not. It also has no bearing on how you feel about it. That which is absolutely true whether you like it or not, or haven't even considered it. That which is absolutely true has no bearing on whether or not you know it. It doesn't matter if you know it or not. That's the thing about absolute truth. It is true on its own. Here's an example. God's existence. If God exists, it is a universal truth. It is an absolute truth, depending not on how we feel about it, how we think about it, or how we even know about it. It is. And I feel quite certain in saying that this is a universal truth because God created the universe, which means he existed before the universe. And all that exists within the universe came to be because God exists. You can't get more universal in truth than that. That's the kind of truth that Jesus is talking about here. And so if we get into the immediate context of what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the truth, the first thing I want to point out is, notice he's talking about the way in answering the question. He could have said, I am the way and that is the truth. Would have been accurate. He would have been proclaiming that the statement that I am the way is a true statement. But he said something differently, didn't he? He said, I am the truth. In saying that, he says that because I am, it is true. What I say is true. I am the universal truth. That's a big statement, a really big statement. And so can we take that understanding of what he is saying just from this verse? Yeah. But how does it square up with the rest of John's passage, of John's gospel? Well, I would suggest that we go to the very beginning. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. He's making this fascinating link between the Word of God that we have and Jesus, because he then goes on to say the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus himself, the Word of God, who is God. And if it is indeed God's word, it is true, because God is that universal truth that we talked about. John would also go on to say in chapter 8, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, he says to those following him. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays to God, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Again and again, we see in John's gospel this connection between Jesus as the word of God, as the truth of God. Jesus is God, a universal truth. Okay, so we have the immediate verses. We have John's gospel. But what about the rest of the Bible? I mentioned it last week. It's a great verse to go back and look at. But Matthew 5 and 17, Matthew captures Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is really shaking things up, and he's going through the law as given to God's people, and he's explaining to them how they've misinterpreted passages, they've misapplied things, always to make themselves look better than they actually are. But in it, Jesus says this fascinating thing. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Christ is proclaiming in that statement that I am the fulfillment of the word of God. All that he has given you to understand him, that's me. That's pretty big. And then if we look at Psalm 119, our verses that we read today to start off our worship service. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, Lord, in accordance with your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. I don't think it's coincidence that he says that your laws are eternal. Because in the beginning was the Word. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is eternal. Christ, God's Word, God's truth, the eternal one. And if we think about truth today, I think about when somebody's called up to the stand. Place your hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. God is the truth. God is the whole truth. But God has also known that since the Garden of Eden, there's been another option than the nothing but the truth. And this is where we get into a bit of a conundrum in our society today, just as happened millennia ago. Because the very first words recorded as being said by the serpent, Satan, in Genesis chapter 3, are the words, "Did God really say?" Satan's very first tactic remains a tactic that he continues to use today to great effect. Let me call into question God's truth, because there's another truth, my truth, the world's truth. You see, Satan didn't like the truth that God is the sovereign king, the creator. And because he desired to be exalted above God, he was cast out of heaven, he and those angels who had chosen to be in league with him. And so he hates God, and he wants to tear down all that is good. And so he seeks to convince us that there is no truth. God's word proclaims it pretty clearly, that there is truth. But yet there are so many people that are in this world and of the world that they want to embrace the truth that is in the world as well. That means there's no right or wrong, because, hey, what's truth? It's what we want it to be. God's word identifies what is true. God's word identifies what is holy, what will sanctify us. He calls on behavior that is righteous and good. And the world doesn't like that. Satan, at the beginning, was whispering into the ear of Eve in the Garden of Eden He's not whispering anymore. All of society is shouting. We have our media. We have our culture. We have our educational arenas. We have our political arenas. Everywhere you turn, the world is shouting, there is no God. There is no truth. Or if they're acknowledging God, what they're saying is, did he really say, causing us to question God's truth? Truth about who we sleep with, who we marry, who we want to divorce, who we are as individuals, who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to treat each other, how we're supposed to steward our resources, whether we have any purpose at all, whether we should worship, who we should worship. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there such a thing as eternal life? Did God really say? Of course he did. It's in his word. It's right here. Jesus made a bold proclamation that we cannot possibly interpret. He said, I am the truth. The truth of God is the word of God. It is the universal truth, the eternal truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible is true. God's Word is true. Jesus is the truth. I want to close with this story. King Josiah, back in the Old Testament days, king of Judah, came to the throne following 57 years of rule by his grandfather and father, who were apostates at best, neglectors of the temple. It was a really difficult time in Judah, and so the temple had fallen into disrepair. And we read that Josiah comes to the throne at the tender age of 8. And Scripture tells us that it was another 18 years, even as he was being raised with a heart towards God, even as he was being raised by priests who were encouraging him to seek after God's heart. It took him until he was in his mid-20s to give instruction to the priests, let's repair the temple. That temple that had presumably been out of use or in improper use for 75 years, collecting dust, was in shambles. And so King Josiah said to Hilkiah the priest, let's clean up the house of the Lord. Now, a remarkable thing happened in the process of cleaning up the temple. Shaphan, who was King Josiah's secretary, goes down to check on the process of getting everything cleaned up. And Hilkiah says, you're not going to believe what I've found. I have found God's law, the book of the law. Think about that for a moment. God's holy people, the kingdom of Judah, the temple's been in disrepair. 75 years later, they find the book of the law, hidden amongst the debris in the temple. Where had it been? How could the priests not have known? But they didn't know. And so Shaphan brings this book of the law to King Josiah, and he reads it in his presence. And Josiah, upon hearing the word of God, God's truth, tears his robes because he knows that all of Judah is in deep trouble. You see, it wasn't enough for Josiah to have a heart inclined towards God, to be thinking nice thoughts, to be hoping good things for God's people, if you don't also have the truth of God that he's made available to us. Because without God's truth, we're left to our own minds. and our own minds take us to bad places. Let God be true and every man a liar happens to be the condition of our lives and our hearts. There is one truth. And Josiah knew now that he was exposed to what God's word truly said, that they had a lot of repenting to do, and they needed the mercy of God to allow them to do it. God's truth is God's truth. And Jesus is truth. And no one comes to the Father except through him. It's what the Holy Bible reveals. It is undisputable. It is clear in its teaching. And it is not dependent upon whether or not anyone else believes it. It's not dependent upon whether or not anyone else likes it. And it's not dependent upon whether or not anybody else knows it. Because it's God's universal truth. It doesn't matter if Satan is whispering in our ears or shouting from the rooftops, did God really say? Because he did. So we can build our lives on the truth. We can seek after God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, feasting on the word of God and drinking from those streams of living water. Or we can build our lives on a falsehood, a lie perpetuated by Satan from the earliest of days. We can accept God in giving us his word that he gave through his one and only begotten Son, the one who was the very manifestation of truth, the one who came to be nailed to a cross is the only way that we can be reconciled to God, the only way to a room in the Father's house, the only way to be cleansed of our sin, and we can believe that. Or we can reject God's word. We can reject it as false. We can reject it as irrelevant. We can hold on to the wisdom of the world, demanding that we are the ones that get to sit upon our thrones, that God has no place in them, free to act as we see fit. And we can even demand of God, if he exists, that he give us room in his kingdom. We can do that. We can accept God's proclamation of truth. Truth that Jesus is life itself, and that he came that we might live abundantly. Or we can reject that notion out of hand. Since Jesus proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I guess that means that we better get to I am the life part next. But that's a message for another day. Jesus is the way. And Jesus is the only way. And Jesus is the truth. And he is the only truth. May you, as God's people, hold dearly to it. Defend it with every last breath that you have. And know that your very life depends upon it. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray.